Welcome to Top Shelf at the Merrick Library with your host, Carol Ann Tack.
Welcome to Top Shelf at Merrick Library. I am your host, Carol Ann Tack. Thank you all for joining me. As many of you know, a few years ago, I hosted author James Wade on Facebook Live, and we were talking about scary and unsettling books. And he said to me, Carol Ann, you have got to get your hands on a debut called Big Woods by May Cobb. And listeners, I got right onto that May Cobb train, and I never looked back. East Texas or bust. That's my new expression. I'm going to get that on a t-shirt. So then May follows Big Woods with the jaw-dropping The Hunting Wives. And Sophie and Margot are still in my head, by the way. And today, May Cobb is back to talk about her brand new release, which is a total summer stunner. It's called My Summer Darlings, which is an Amazon editor's pick for best mystery, thriller, and suspense for May. And speaking of May, May Cobb, I cannot thank you enough for joining us once again on Merrick Library's Top Shelf podcast to talk about My Summer Darlings.
Thank you so much for having me back, Carol Ann. Top Shelf is my absolute favorite podcast, and I'm just honored to be here.
I am so thrilled to see you and to host you once again. I am very lucky. Listeners and readers are very lucky because this book, My Summer Darlings, man, there is so much to talk about. I will keep things as spoiler-free as possible. But right up front, listeners, I'm telling you, I never saw this book coming. It's unsettling. It's steamy. It's absolutely captivating. There is a lot more going on than just the surface stuff. It's just an incredible read. Author Andrea Bartz says this sultry, soapy thriller just might be the perfect poolside read. And listeners, if you do decide to read it poolside, you've been warned. That's all I'm going to say. You take your own risks. One of my favorite blurbs is from Riley Sager. He says, My Summer Darlings is spicy enough to make you sweat until the suspense chills you to your core, which is why I commented that I never saw this book coming. Please, May Cobb, if you would, tell listeners about My Summer Darlings.
Yeah, so My Summer Darlings revolves around the life of three lifelong friends, Jen, Kitty, and Cynthia. And they all live in this small East Texas town. And they all actually live in the same neighborhood. And it takes place over the course of a blistering summer. And during that summer, a mysterious, handsome stranger moves to town and takes up residence in the neighborhood in one of the grandest mansions. And over the course, he upends their lives. And each of the women are at a different crossroads in their life. They're all approaching 40. They each have a teen that's, you know, becoming increasingly surly. And Jen is recently divorced and heartbroken and has just moved back to her hometown from Austin. And then Cynthia is like, she's like a repressed housewife. And then Kitty is a socialite who fears her beauty and her better days are behind her.
All of these women are something else. They all have their outward lives, but what you do with their inner dialogue, with their inner lives, is just something so incredible. And I love these conversations that they have with themselves, their self-awareness. It's amazing how you do that. What's the inspiration for this story?
First of all, thank you so much for that praise. Yeah, going back to Riley Sager, and I was so grateful for his quotes. He has become a friend and mentor of mine, which is like, he'll answer my panicked emails. But yeah, I knew that he usually for his novels has a movie in mind as inspiration. So for like The Last Time I Lied, it was Picnic at Hanging Rock. I thought, well, that's just a really cool way of going about it. And when my agent sold The Hunting Wives, we got a 2-book deal. And right before she took it out, I thought, what could be the second book? And so I sort of applied Riley's method. And the film that I thought about was The Witches of Eastwick, which was a big favorite of me and my sisters and mom and best friends growing up. And we watched it a million times. And I just love the setup of the three women and the handsome stranger moving to town.
Oh my gosh, what That's an incredible story. I did not know that. I didn't realize that. I never made that connection. And I've seen that movie about 100 times and I never made that connection because this book, My Summer Darlings, really stands on its own 2 feet. Man, I'm glad you used that as inspiration. So which of the characters, you come off writing The Hunting Wives and I guess you kind of roll into My Summer Darlings. I don't know if that's even possible to roll into one novel after you just hit it big with The Hunting Wives. How soon do these characters, these women start showing up for you? Who was the first one that you started writing?
Yeah, the first one was Jen, but the first one I really felt connected to was Kitty because she was so vivacious and sassy. And, she wakes up and she's sitting out by her pool with a hangover. But with that hangover, she's writing on her monogram stationery, her to-do list. And I was like, I know the Southern lady so well, and I cannot wait to see what she does. And it's funny because I finished The Hunting Wives in summer 2019, and it didn't come out until 2021. So it was a long launch, which I'm grateful for because we went through the early days of the pandemic where it would have been incredibly hard to launch. But I remember finishing it and racing to meet the deadline, and I got it done. It was late August, and I work with this wonderful freelance editor, Benay Naur, and I said to her, I'm going to take a month off now. I'll circle back then, and I'm going to go to Target and buy t-shirts, and I'm going to go get a cheeseburger. I'm going to lay on my couch. And she was like, you have 1 week. And I just thought that was so cruel, Caroline. I was like, what? And she's like, yep, 1 week. And even though contractually I could have taken that month, she really pushed me and I'm so glad she did. So we jumped in after a week and I was able to get 3/4 of the novel in the can before the shutdown happened.
And you're a rock star. I just don't know how you do that. And let's hear it for Benay Naur. I know she lives around in my area or Queens, somewhere like that. So if she's ever on Long Island, tell her to look me up. I'll give her a champagne cocktail if she would like. Part of the book, the point of view of Cynthia Nichols, she writes her point of view comes through her journals. And every time I go back and look at those journals and some of the things that she writes, because obviously it's journals, so they're very personal, it seems as if she's speaking right to the reader. She's talking to us. And that's a stunning thing that you've done there.
Thank you so much. I really had fun with her because at first, as the writer, she was the most removed one, but I knew I wanted her to only be able to communicate through the secret journal that she stashes in her lingerie drawer because her husband will never think to look there because he doesn't even know she had a baby because he's so tuned out. But I felt like it helped me unlock her more than if I was just in her head in a normal POV. And I really loved digging into her brain because she might be the most complicated one, maybe of all, maybe because she is, there were times in her life where she would have done other things had she listened to herself. Like when she was little, she was Mensa smart and could have maybe gone to MIT, but early on her mom's like, nope, you're a debutante. And because she's born into this system, like almost like a caste system, she had to stay within that mold. So she has all this stuff bubbling inside of her. And yeah, I really liked writing her sections.
On Instagram, author Ashley Winstead, she had this incredible review, and I urge listeners to go try to find that, about My Summer Darlings. And she's talking about these women in this book and their friendships and their relationships. One of the things she said is that a lot of the deceit stems from the fact that none of the main characters are allowed to talk about what they want, particularly when it comes to Will, because they are mothers and upstanding society members and, frankly, women. And that really kind of coincides with this really wonderful interview you did with Shauna Sneed of the Dallas Morning News, talking about women behaving badly versus men behaving badly. But she really, Ashley Winston really gets it when she goes to that deep dive about these women and how they have to hide themselves.
I was totally slayed when I saw that review on Instagram, and Ashley is a total rock star, and it felt like she reflected something back to me that I didn't even know existed. But when I read it, it did resonate deeply. I was like, wow, thank you for getting it in a way that I wasn't even conscious of.
Once she did that, I was like, yes, that's it. That's exactly right. That's why I think this book resonates with me. And I can't wait to put this in the hands of readers this spring and summer. One of my favorite scenes, I do a lot of gardening in front of my house. And one of my favorite scenes is when Jen is gardening and she's kind of messy and her ponytail's askew and she's muddy and sweaty and she's got dirt all over her. And as she's gardening, Will drives by and she turns over her shoulder and she looks at him and he winks. She says, oh my gosh, did he just wink at me? And I'm paraphrasing, please. May Cobb does a far better job of me trying to ad lib. But I thought to myself, oh my gosh, that's the scene where you open the door and you usher the readers in. There's something that happens before that, but that scene for me, holy cow. I've gone back to that scene. I've used it on my own Instagram feed to describe that feeling right into this pit of my stomach. It was incredible.
Thank you, Carol Ann. That's so lovely to hear.
At some point, I reached out and I said, oh my gosh, May, I'm so conscious now of my derriere when I bend over to my gardening in my yard. Will Harding's driving by. Oh my gosh. It's like when if Jake Ryan were to move next door, you know, suddenly I'm that 16-year-old girl in high school again, and there's another scene with Kitty when she goes to meet Will Harding for the first time. And you feel, I mean, I hate to say it, but you feel sympathetic for her because she is all at sixes and sevens when he opens that door and he is standing there. And that's all of, well, I shouldn't say all of us. That's some of us. And by some of us, I mean me. When someone like that opens the door. And if it just so happens to be, say, a person like Jake Ryan.
Yes. And I just love, love, love that you're bringing the Jake Ryan thing up because he's such a phenomenon in all of our lives. for women of a certain age, he was the one. And yeah, so that is one thing I really wanted to capture was how we all still can behave like teenagers. It doesn't matter if you're 16 or 76, given the right person in front of you, giving you attention, you can still get tongue tied and then go on to make bad decisions. And maybe you don't think you would, but I mean, you don't know till it's happening to you.
I will put the link for the Shauna Seed Dallas Morning News article where you talk about men behaving badly versus women, because it's a very important part of this book. It's an important part of the conversation. So I will put those links there. And as we're talking about links, you're on this book tour. Where is the best place for readers and listeners to find you? All the latest and the greatest from May Cobb.
Probably follow me on Instagram. It's May_Cobb. And then also I just had my website updated and it's got an events calendar on there.
It's great. I love the website.
Thank you. That's Powerhouse Digital Strategy. That is not my doing, but that's www.maycobb.com.
Okay. I will put the links there. I know you've got the tour and I really thank your family for letting me monopolize your time. Anything you can share with listeners about what might be next for you?
Yes, I am in edits on my next thriller. I think that we're looking at releasing it next summer, maybe a little bit later in the summer, but it's called A Likeable Woman.
I love that title.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very tongue in cheek. And the quick pitch is it's a 30-something year old woman who has been told since she was a teenager that her mother committed suicide, but she's never believed it. And she actually fled her East Texas town and has been living in LA, but now she gets beckoned back home when a frenemy has a vow renewal party. And then also her aging grandmother says, I've got something of your mother's, something she was keeping in secret. And I think you were right about the way she died. And so she's allured back home and it's very twisty in East Texas there and danger starts to lurk. And it's a dual narrative. So it's the present day voice of the woman trying to figure out her mom's death. And then her mother left behind a book she was writing. So it's her story too. And her mother was quote unquote unlikable in the neighborhood. And so that's why she thinks something bad happened to her.
I love that title. I love that it's tongue in cheek. And before I let you go, any recommendations you want to share for listeners? By the way, I also feel like My Summer Darlings, total Netflix treatment, movie treatment, serial treatment. It's got every single element you could possibly want. It has a little bit of that Big Little Lies thing with the deep dive on the women's relationships and friendships. I love that you have done that. So fingers crossed for that.
Thank you. Yes, from your lips to God's ears, let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's see, recommendations. Right now, I am reading Riley Sager's The House Across the Lake, which comes out next month in June, I believe the 20th. And I am spellbound. It is like, it might be my favorite of his, which is saying a lot. I also really love Samantha Bailey's Watch Out for Her. It's just hypnotic and delicious and twisty. And it's got Hand That Rocks the Cradle vibes. And it is out now. And it is so phenomenal. I devoured that in a matter of, you know, hours. Let's see. I am reading also, and I'm just such a huge fan of Jesse Sutanto's, and I'm reading her latest, Four Aunties and a Wedding. That's her follow-up to Dial A for Aunties. And
I love that first book.
Yes. She's just so brilliant and hilarious and such a, also like brilliant plotter that I just, yeah, those are my recs for right now.
Oh my gosh. May Cobb. I cannot thank you enough for spending all this time that you did with us today. Today's book, My Summer Darlings, by today's guest, May Cobb, is on shelves everywhere. So please grab a copy at your local library or your local independent bookstore. My Summer Darlings is published by Berkeley Press. I hope you will come back and join me for whatever comes next.
Thank you, Carolyn, for having me. And I'm just like afraid you're never going to get rid of me now. So for saying I can come back.
Anytime. If you're in New York, look me up. We're here.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, no, that's going to happen.
Thank you so much for joining me and the listeners today on Merrick Library's Top Shelf. Remember to follow Top Shelf at Merrick Library on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever you find most podcasts. For the latest and the greatest at the Merrick Library, check out our website, merricklibrary.org. Special thanks to Merrick Library Director Dan Chusmere, Assistant Director Diane Bondi, and the Merrick Library Board of Directors for getting us off the ground and on to the airwaves. Until the next time, remember to keep us on your top shelf.